gonna be good. Where is it? Right here, back of the book. It's 5 o'clock.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
By my calculations, it should be around 5 a.m., and you're listening to all. Goodbye, summer of 22. We hardly got out into you. Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here on this program. You can find out a little bit more about that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen, and it will say at the top of that, latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you will be brought to the web page for this morning's radio program. This is our 107th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top intergalactic story of the past week is we have now rocketed up to 125 followers, totally unprecedented. Nobody knew there were that many people on Twitter to follow anybody. A whole 125 followers, gee whiz. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, October 12th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security, which nobody seems to give a rat's zinger about these days. We had a local station board meeting this past week, and we'll end up in an executive session meeting sometime in October. Exact date is apparently going to be determined somehow. We were told at this LSB meeting this past Wednesday that there are not going to be elections this year. Apparently, they're hoping to have them next year. We'll see. I hope this doesn't result in the disaster that we had in 2013 and 2014, where people who were elected termed out, runners-up, the people who lost in the election, came up and took their seats, which is how the bylaws are, and these people managed to make a mess of things, doing such things as making the monumental, really smart decision, audits? Audits? We don't need no stinking audits! And so we ended up in a lot of trouble. And it's also because of that, I think, that we ended up getting kicked out of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which has cost Pacifica Foundation and WBAI huge amounts of money for years. Well, we'll see how that all works out right there. And also, there was all sorts of stuff about, oh boy, various stations are not doing well. So we might get into that a little later. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 611,319,644 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,524,839. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 95,640,902, and the death toll in America was 1,053,339. So, 3,117 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's about 275 more deaths than we'd had the previous week. Well, the death rate is lower in general since it had been a while ago, but COVID-19 is still killing hundreds of people in America every week. The pandemic is not over, even though a lot of people are really behaving as if it were, including the CDC to some degree, but then that's politics. So keep your masks on. That's what we're doing. Pickles got her vaccination for the Omicron variants BA4 and BA5 a week ago, but I'm still having to wait for the VA to get ready to shoot me up. Well, we'll see what they can do. We're hoping that they're going to be able to shoot me up with the new Omicron variants and a flu shot all at once. And oh, it's always fun when you get all those together. You enjoyed all of yours together, didn't you, my dear?
Yes, it was quite the experience, but I'm happy to go through it because now I am boosted and hopefully protected against the flu. I mean, it's not 100% for either one, but keeps you from going to the hospital.
And, of course, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher. And this was all mostly preventable. We did not have to have a pandemic that was killing over 6.5 million people in the world. And as noted at the top of this program, there goes summer. You know, I like summer a lot. Pickles isn't that thrilled with the heat, but I like summer. It's warmer. I sleep better. There's more light. And I just like summer. And all good things come to an end. Or as Pickles might view it, at last it's going to end. In any event.
It's not the heat, it's the humidity.
That too. The autumnal equinox will occur this coming Thursday, September 22nd, 2022, at 9:04 at night. So at 4 minutes after 9 o'clock on Thursday night, it will be the autumnal equinox. And, oh boy, we will go into the other half of how the light goes. The sun will slip past the equator and into the southern hemisphere from a purely geocentric attitude, and we will not get it back again until next March. So we'll have about 6 months of, you know, the nights being longer than the days, and, oh, well, it's not as if this is a new thing, but I really like the summer, and it's something that that I really enjoy, and oh, I especially like the light. And right now we're recording in darkness, whereas not long ago we were recording and it was light out at this same time. So this is life. And now we'll go into these cooler times for Pickles and gloomier times for me. And
if only we could have all the beautiful light that you love and the days be not so hot for me, that would be great. I think we'd have to live on the equator.
The equator's really hot.
Okay. Scratch that.
In any event. So, yeah, but it's what we get. It's what we get. And, of course, we have traditions here on Back of the Book. We're slopping over with traditions on Back of the Book. And here is another one where we officially say goodbye to summer, because the next time we're on the air, it will be autumn. And so we're going to say goodbye to the summer of 22 in our traditional way.
Summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone. Almost gone. Yeah, it's almost gone. Where will we be when the summer's gone?
Russia's war against Ukrainian independence, Russia's war against Ukrainians, period. That's still going on. And it's been a bit of a turn here. The Ukrainian army started kicking the Russian army's ass lately. Oh, they apparently faked out the Russians by saying that they were going to attack in the south. And so the Russians started moving a lot of their troops and armor south to meet them. And then the Ukrainians struck north and east. Man, that's, you don't sit around and say, oh, the enemy says they're going to go over there. Let's go over there to fight them. Duh. Who the hell's running the Russian army here? Who's the master strategist? Some 6-year-old? Man, Anyway, I mean, this is an old feint. So, yes, the Ukrainians attacked. They've taken thousands of square miles of territory back and loads of villages and small towns back. And, yeah, they're finding, you know, the graves of people who were murdered by the Russians. Oh, boy. And what's happening, I think, also is I think the Ukrainians are getting good intelligence advice from the United States and maybe from some other countries. I wonder if the United States said, hey, why don't you tell them you're going to go south and then go north and see how that works out? Because what happens is the Russians do not have what are referred to as interior lines for this. They've got some territory. Their territory that they've taken from Ukraine is kind of, to a degree, crescent-shaped. And so they can't just go from the area north of Kharkiv and zip them down to the other places in the south where they got to go. They have to go around. So they got to go around all of that and come down and get into the south. And, of course, once they're there in the south, the Americans have satellites, and we're watching them. We're saying, hey, Ukrainians, they're in the south. They took the bait. And the Ukrainians start shooting off those HIMARS, which, by the way, that really shows the power of artillery, because it's making a big difference. It's blowing up the supplies of the Russians. And that's one of the big things, is to hit the enemy's supplies. A lot of people want to be armchair generals, and they want to say, and I move my troops this way, and then I move them that way, and I get them from over here. The thing that's really important that a real general looks at is, where's my food? Where are my tires? Where's my gasoline? Where's, you know, everything? Where are my pencils? Where's every little thing I need? And that's the thing, because if you have a bunch of guys and they're armed to the teeth, but they don't have enough food, they're not going to work out well. This is something that's been known for thousands of years. This is something you can read about in the campaigns of Julius Caesar 2,000 years ago. Making sure that you have your army and you camp them on water and make sure the enemy can't get upstream to dump poisonous stuff in the water. And things like this, paying attention to the water and where are you going to get your food from? This is, you know, how you have to think about it, because you've got all of these people who are in this army and they're all crushed together. They make up a small city, and you have to feed them, and you have to give them a place to go to the bathroom safely. You have to do all sorts of stuff. Their boots are going to wear out. So, and of course, there's ammunition these days. And so the Ukrainians are hitting the supply lines and the ammo dumps, and they know where those things are because the Americans are saying, oh, yeah, here's one here. Blow it up. And they blow it up. So, yeah, the Russians are not doing so great there. And Putin had to meet with Xi today, this past week. And, gee, one wonders how that really went, you know. He didn't show up to China as a big conquering hero or anything. So there is that little item. And, yeah, it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that the Russians north of Kharkiv just bugged out. They left lots of equipment and ammo for the Ukrainians to seize. And that's important because the Ukrainians are using the same weapons and ammo. So they just got a big influx of especially shells for tanks and artillery. So that helps them a lot. And so what they haven't blown up, they've captured as the Russians bugged out. A bug out is when you don't have an orderly retreat. An orderly retreat is where you have your skirmishers and people, and you start pulling your forces back. But they pull back in an orderly way, and they stay in order with each other so that they can get orders back and forth and tell people where to go. And they pull back with their stuff. And then you have the troops in back of them and backing up, but firing and shooting and delaying and all of that. A bug out is where you say, oh, bleep, here comes the enemy. Run, run. Ah! And that's what the Russians did. Now, this happens all the time in places. In Korea, the Allies had a bug out when all of a sudden China, the so-called People's Republic of China, poured huge numbers of troops into North Korea, even after the North Koreans, with all of the help from Russia especially, were getting their asses kicked at last. Now comes in huge numbers of Chinese infantry, and oh boy, people got scared of the human wave attacks and things, and they bugged out. Anyway, so there's a bug out going on in Ukraine. The Russians are running away from that. And this makes it an even more interesting thing here. Better that the Russians bug out than that the Ukrainians do. And some of this information about things not going their way is getting through to the Russian populace, apparently, which I think everybody said, oh, the military operation, comrade, do not call it a war. Some of this military operation, this will be 3 days, we'll take over, that'll be it. That was what people were thinking. And, of course, they're given all of this, these announcements. And, you know, the Russian populace has been getting nothing but rosy announcements about the war from the government. And, oh, boy, of course, they don't call it a war. And they've been getting all of that. And now they have calendars and they can say, gee, it's 7 months. It's still going on. What's happening here? On top of which you have here and there, the Ukrainians are giving captured Russian soldiers cell phones to call home on. So they call home and say, Mommy and Daddy, I've been captured. We're getting our asses kicked down here. And Mommy and Daddy are liable to say something like that to the neighbors, and then it gets out. And plus, you know, the simple fact that it's been 7 months and this is still going on. And that now they're having to import drones from Iran. And they're trying to get other places to, they're trying to buy back their own, the equipment they sold to some of the other communist countries in the past. And, oh man, it's not going well. Which is good, because we can't really have stuff like countries deciding they're going to take over the territory like that. It's bad news. And it's interesting that the people who complained about America going to Afghanistan after 9/11 are on the side of the Russians so much these days. Not everybody, but there are enough vocal ones where I say, Jesus H. Christ, we see through you. And so, as we found out more than a week ago, Trump has gotten his so-called special master. And Eileen Cannon, the federal judge Trump appointed to the bench in 2020 after he had lost the election, she's just giving him everything he wants. She has interfered with the criminal investigation of the national security harm Trump has done by enjoining the Department of Justice from, quote, further review and use of any of the materials seized for criminal investigative purposes pending resolution of the special master's review, unquote. And she's refused to reconsider that, and now she's chosen one of Trump's picks as the special master. When is the Department of Justice going to just go around her? Surely there are other judges they can appeal to, and it's possible they may, I think. The special master, it turns out, is one Raymond J. Deary, a judge and politician from New York. And I've certainly heard his name in the past. And if you've been in New York for years, you will know his name. He's a semi-retired judge. And he's in that sort of limbo of being a senior judge, which means you don't work a lot, but you work here and there. Alphonse D'Amato got Reagan to make him a federal judge. And before that, he was a prosecutor and various things. So he showed up a lot for the past number of years. And he's an old man. He's old. He's even older than I am. I was glad to read that the Department of Justice is planning to appeal this nonsense, though. So that's going to be good. They're not doing everything. They're doing pieces here and there. It's kind of, I guess, a bit confusing to those of us who are not lawyers watching it all closely. And so an appeal would be good. And while that Florida judge isn't allowing the Justice Department to bring the case to a grand jury or talk to witnesses about Trump's crimes, she did say that the FBI could continue to investigate, quote, the movement and storage of seized materials, including documents marked as classified, without discussion of their contents, unquote. I hope the Department of Justice gets all of her rulings reversed, because this is so clearly corrupt, all of this. One issue is that Raymond J. Deary is semi-retired, and he sometimes hears cases. And as a judge, even though semi-retired, he's not supposed to have any outside jobs, and this would be kind of an outside job. So what's going to happen here? Judge Cannon has said that Trump would pay the entire cost of Judge Deary's compensation and expenses, along with the cost of support staff or advisors he needs. Given that Trump has requested the special master, yeah, they're making him pay for it. That's interesting, but gee whiz, talk about giving Trump everything. He's going to be paying this guy. Deary is going to be in his employ. Is he going to be able to render opinions for the good of the country or for the good of the guy who's paying him and who may, you know, may have already said, look, if you do what I want, not only will I pay you, but when we're all done, there'll be a nice little something for you in a place that I'll name where you can go and pick up a small package with nobody's name on it. And, you know, you know, it'll be in there. I don't know, but gee whiz, Trump is paying the guy. He's in the employ of Trump. Apparently, Trump said this past week that if he's indicted, there will be, quote, problems in this country, the likes of which we've never seen before, unquote. That is clearly a threat, just like the other Republicans in Congress are saying, oh, it's going to be bad. Oh, they better not do that. Or yeah, you want to do a January 6th? You want to do a January 6th all over the place? This time, be a lot more shooting, I think. And, you know, wow, this is amazing stuff. And this judge is just going along with it. No problem with comments like that coming out of him while this is going on. The FBI and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence want to keep investigating at least what happened to the contents of the now empty folders marked top secret and higher than top secret. There was stuff in there. You don't get those government top secret things. They're not like menus from a Chinese restaurant where those things are just thrown around higgledy-piggledy everywhere. Those things are meaningful, and they're supposed to alert people to what's inside them. If there's nothing inside them, you got to say, what happened? Where's the stuff that was inside it? And, yeah, some people are raising those questions. What happened to that? It was, for a long time, in an unlocked basement. Eventually, it was in a locked basement. If you're a spy, you can go through a crummy little lock on a basement very easily. And, you know, they've got all sorts of people that could wander into there. Plus, of course, it's connected by a sort of no longer secret underground tunnel to a bungalow or some building across the street from Mar-a-Lago, where Rudy Giuliani used to lament not being elected president in 2008. And so, yeah, there are a lot of ways in there. You can come in through Mar-a-Lago. You can get in through that tunnel. And if it's very important stuff, nation states, I'll just name Russia and China as two large nation states with very good intelligence operations. They're not the only ones. They got everybody around the world's got this stuff. Israel has a pretty good intelligence service too. Maybe they were in there. So you don't know what's happened to the contents of those top secret folders. Oh boy. Regarding the idea that no one should be above the law, which somebody seems to have brought up, Judge Cannon wrote that, quote, "The principles of equity require the court to consider the specific context at issue, and that consideration is inherently impacted by the position formerly held," unquote, meaning when Trump had been president. So she's taking into account that he was president and treating him differently from other people. That's not how it's supposed to go. That's putting him above the law.
This sounds like an incompetent judge.
Well, incompetent unless you look at what he put her there to do. She's his. And, yeah, incompetent in some things, I'm sure. But I'm sure she knows how to be grateful to the guy who's helping her out. Hey, remember who gave you your job. So, yeah, this is going to be, it's already bad stuff. The judge also gave Raymond Deary until November 30th to make his decision. So that's quite a long way. He's got, what is it, almost 3 full months. Well, 2.5 full months to look through stuff. Now, he does have 11,000 pages, but you don't have to read every word. So, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out, but it looks awful. It looks awful at this point in time. On the other hand, I'm reading some people who think that Trump may have blundered in getting Deary on this case because it's saying Deary might not do what Trump wants. Deary may do the actual job as laid out. So, that would be very interesting. We've seen things like that happen in the past where the bad guy thinks this person's going to, you know, be my toady. And the person turns out not to be the toady and says, look at this, that, and the other thing.
We saw that when he tried to overturn the election. We saw judges saying, no, you're not going to do this. And these were judges appointed by the Republican Party. These were judges appointed by the Democratic Party.
And judges he appointed.
And they did their jobs.
Yeah.
They did their jobs.
And so some of them can do that stuff. But, so it's a possibility here. Some people are suggesting that Trump may have made a blunder here. I hope he made a blunder. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So we're going to institute something new here on this program. We're going to institute something I'm calling Pickles Picks. Yes, that's what's going to happen here. And what that means is Pickles has kept a pretty much almost a log of stuff we've done over the years. And she likes some parts, some segments of some programs quite a bit, and has suggested for a while that what we should do is we should put these segments on and we should just roll this old stuff. And she thinks it'd be pretty decent radio. And why do you like this one, my dear?
This one in particular that we're going to play. It's very funny, but also dealing with a serious topic. And it contains some of the camaraderie that we've missed so during COVID and during things that happened before COVID. That camaraderie on the air that was so much fun and just produced some really good radio.
The segment we're about to play aired live on January 2nd, 2006. We were still at 120 Wall Street then. We did a program every other week at that time, and we alternated with Uncle Sidney Smith, our saddle pal. In fact, Uncle Sidney is in this segment from that program. What had happened was the Catholic Church had been talking about changing what Catholic doctrine was about limbo in December 2005. As ex-Catholics, we had a lot of background on this topic. So Pickles and I talked about it. The Church's political point on this is talked about at the very end of the entire segment. The Pope at the time was Pope Benedict XVI, who had been Cardinal Ratzinger. Here we go. January 2nd, 2006. Let's talk about limbo.
The status of limbo is now in limbo, folks. What the hell is he talking about? Limbo is this thing that the Catholic Church has had for a very, very long time. It's basically where the unbaptized go, the good unbaptized go. It's the waiting room to heaven. I was brought up in a Catholic church, and this is all drilled into us that there's heaven and there's hell, which all of us were definitely going to.
Purgatory.
Oh, there's purgatory, okay.
Purgatory is like hell's waiting room, what did you say?
Well, yeah, you've got a good waiting room for heaven and a bad waiting room for heaven. So you've got heaven, everybody knows about heaven, you know, you're up there with dog spelled backwards. Hell, you're down there with the devil. And in grammar school, we were told that, yes, you're burning all the time. And the devil and the demons poke you with pitchforks. They were really telling us that. And I remember in the second grade, there was great detail to this. They were telling us that we're 7 years old at this point. Now, in the first grade, they were also telling us we were going to hell. And speaking of going to hell, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from the ass end of Wall Street. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. Her name is Pickles of the North. And you can find out a little bit more about this by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also look at wbai.org, the official website of this radio station. So we had it drilled into us that, you know, we were going to hell and all that stuff if we didn't really be better than we were. So there was heaven, there was hell, where when you died, you went down there and the devil took your soul and threw it into a furnace. And then you became a devil. So that was what we were actually told. And then you had purgatory. Purgatory was just like hell in that you're suffering in flames and all, but the devil isn't there. And there is hope because you will eventually get out of purgatory and go to heaven. Because maybe you've got some lesser sins on your soul, like your venial sins. In the Catholic Church, you had mortal sins and venial sins. If you died with a mortal sin, you went to hell, that was it. So that if you were 6 years old and you said bleep you to somebody and you died, or if you missed going to Mass on Sunday and you were run over by a truck on Monday, you were down there with Hitler. You were down there with Hitler and Stalin and Vyshinsky and Beria and all of those lovely people. And, you know, come then, small boy. You know, we murdered millions. What are you here for in hell? Oh, I missed Mass. Oh, we're going to like having you here, kid. You know, that was what was going to happen to you. However, if you had a venial sin, which was something like you thought a bad thought about somebody, like you said, geez, I'd like to punch that kid in the nose. Or you just said, get lost, or were uncharitable.
Or if you stole a bag of chips or something like that.
Oh,
or
no, that was a mortal sin. That was
hell. Wait a minute. Those are mortal sins.
Stole a bag of chips? That's hell, lady. In Brooklyn, that was hell.
Well,
I don't know about other places, but if you stole a bag of potato chips when you were 6 years old in Brooklyn, you went to hell.
Jeez.
That was it. That's how it was in Brooklyn. They told us. You do stealing? Oh, man, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You're going to hell. And we kept saying, what is adultery, you know? Because we had to learn the Ten Commandments. And you're 6 and 7 years old, and, you know, you're reciting them. You know, I shall not steal, shalt not kill. We understand all this. We understand not bearing false witness against your neighbor. This coveting your neighbor's wife was a little odd. But what was adultery? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Raise your hand. What is adultery? And you're like, you got this dance. And, you know, the teachers were very adept, I must say, at redirecting us and deflecting our questions about what the hell adultery was. They never told us what adultery was, but it was a sin. And we had to worry about, are we committing adultery here? You know, does it mean like eating too much ice cream maybe or something? So we were also told, you know, there was also purgatory. Purgatory is where you have a little bit of sin, so God in his mercy will torture you for maybe several thousand years or maybe several million years. And then eventually you'll get to heaven, which is eternal. And the church is full of stuff about indulgences. An indulgence is where you get time off from purgatory. Like, hell you're into, that's it, forever, forget it. But purgatory, you might have to go to purgatory and suffer. The poor souls in purgatory. We had to say prayers for the poor souls in purgatory. You might suffer for an hour or 50 million years. And somewhere in there, you know, you were suffering, and you would do various things for penance to take off time in purgatory. And then there was limbo. What if you have a baby and the baby dies before it's baptized? Well, the baby goes to limbo. What about Moses? Moses was never baptized, but, you know, he's in the Bible. What happened to Moses? Well, Moses and all the other good people from the Old Testament, they had to go to limbo. And they waited in limbo until Jesus H. Christ redeemed everything, and then they were allowed into heaven. However, if you're a baby, you're permanently in limbo, which is sort of like a cloudy place where you float around and there's no torture or burning, but you're not in heaven. And anyway, so that's what we were taught. Well, limbo is on the chopping block here. In December, 30 top theologians from around the world met at the Vatican to discuss the problem of what happens to babies who die without baptism. They were the theological advisors to Pope Benedict XVI, the Ratzinger. And what they were doing is they were discussing limbo. What I'm finding out now is the church is saying that limbo was never official church doctrine, but it's an enduring medieval theory. What? Wait a minute. This was taught to us as absolute. We had to know this stuff. They're going to get rid of limbo here. And wow, Ratzinger, when he was just a cardinal, he's not a pope, said, quote, limbo has never been a definitive truth of the faith. Personally, I would let it drop, since it has always been only a theological hypothesis, unquote. And, man, that was never how they put it to us there. It was absolute. And so they're going to look at what to do with limbo. And in the article from the Times here by Ian Fisher, it goes into a few of these things. And St. Augustine is one of Ratzinger's big heroes. He liked St. Augustine. St. Augustine, believing in mankind's original sin, persuaded a church council in the year 418 to reject any notion of an intermediary place between heaven and hell. He held that baptism was necessary for salvation and that unbaptized babies would actually go to hell, though in his later writings he conceded that it would entail the mildest of conditions. So the babies would experience a mild hell for all of eternity. So this Augustine guy is a real winner. And you can see why Ratzinger likes him. Then in the Middle Ages, various theologians, especially St. Thomas Aquinas, postulated a slightly cheerier idea, limbo, from the Latin limbus, meaning a hem or boundary. And Thomas Aquinas said that these babies would live in natural happiness, if not in heaven. And so that's where the babies who died without getting baptized were sent. And in fact, we were all taught how to baptize a baby because this was such a big deal. And any Catholic is supposed to be able to baptize a baby. And we were taught exactly how to do it. So that if we ever ran into a situation where there was a baby, when the baby wasn't baptized and might die, we could baptize the baby. Which meant that all over Brooklyn, there were these Catholic kids baptizing Jewish kids all over the place. It happened. I remember they used to tell us stories of Catholic missionaries in China who would buy babies. There were all these stories of these Chinese guys walking around with baskets full of babies, selling them, and some of them would be dead already. And most of them would be dying. I don't know. This is the stories they used to tell us. So the priests would buy these baskets of babies. And some of them would be dead, but some of them would be alive. And the priests would baptize the babies that were still alive.
I did.
Oh, and he would baptize these babies that were still alive and save their souls. And we have an Uncle Sidney Graham bulletin. You want me to read this on the air?
Well, not the name.
Okay. Sidney baptized somebody's kid in the WBAI sink.
Well,
how recent? How recent was this, Uncle Sidney?
Within the last year. Look, I mean, this person is a non-religious person.
As am I.
And the kid's growing up now. He's about, what, 5 or 6? He was running around the station one day, and I, being a good Catholic, said, I really don't know what could happen, but just to hedge our bets here. I took him into the BAI lounge. I put the kid under the faucet, and I baptized him. But see, I used the Protestant Book of Common Prayer, which the Vatican doesn't recognize. So he's baptized an Anglican.
Well, no, actually, if you just say, I baptize thee in the name of the God, that's it.
Yeah, well, he got that plus
one. Okay, so
he's done. Yeah,
extras in there. That's the Catholic thing.
Yeah. So he's going he's up there.
So the Reverend Smith has done a baptism in BAI,
by the way,
in the sink.
That he's not the only one.
Oh, no!
No, in my years here at WBAI, I baptized 6 children.
Oh!
I'm not kidding, I have. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, okay.
None of their parents know.
Oh, they might now!
They might suspect at this point. Well, thank you, Sidney. That's Uncle Sidney Smith. He does a program called Carrier Wave, which alternates with this radio program. And he's coming in here to tell us about his baptizing
of people. Tonight is a night for wonders and mysteries. Yes.
You see, folks, once they get you with that stuff in Catholic school, it stays, you know. And then I have, of course, completely gotten rid of all of that. I haven't ever baptized anybody.
I don't think I have either.
We
might have been playing when we used to play church when we were kids.
Oh.
I think we probably did, like, pretend baptize each other.
Well, you're already baptized, so
yes,
it doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't count.
And anyway, the article here continues. There was the limbo of the babies, and there was a temporary limbo of the fathers that I was talking about. It says here, this idea that limbo existed was strong even 100 years ago in 1905 when Pope Pius X stated, quote, children who die without baptism go into limbo where they do not enjoy God, but they do not suffer either, unquote. Now, the Pope is supposed to be infallible in matters of faith, so a Pope has said this, that's it. Oops, I guess Ratzinger wants to go back and erase some of this here infallibility crap. They're probably going to do it. They're probably going to wipe out limbo because the political reason is that it relates to the abortion question for Catholics, so that they'll be able to say by having an abortion, you're sending your child to hell. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't faith a wonderful thing?
You know, I remember one of my grandfathers died when I was 7 years old, and I remember at the time asking my mother if he had gone to heaven, and I believe she did tell me he was in purgatory.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be the standard thing to tell your kids, that you're...
And that I had to pray for him.
Oh.
Because that's how you get out of purgatory. Also, you have to pray for the souls in purgatory.
Yes.
Who are there for like 100,000 years or something.
Yeah, unless they got a plenary indulgence. That's how Protestantism actually rose, because the church was selling indulgences. If you gave the Vatican a certain amount of money, which meant you didn't spend any time in purgatory. Oh, they've been in trouble for that in the past.
Trying to crank this thing up. Come on. Come on, engine. Get going. Okay. Here we go. The pitching train is moving out of the station. Yes, we're going to beg you for money. Oh, we're going to ask you to call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money and become a BAI buddy. Oh, BAI buddy is our sustaining membership. And if you become a BAI buddy, what happens is you are billed once a month and you donate once a month to WBAI. And how you do this is you call 1-212-209-2950. When they pick up at the call center, you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you tell them how much you would like to donate every month. And you also tell them what day of the month you want to be billed. Now, you can donate monthly $5, $10, $15, $20, more if you want. And you can donate that. And you tell them when you want it taken out every month. That way it's convenient for you. And that way you will be donating to BAI and it won't be like all one lump sum. It will be something that we can count on too. Part of the deal here is that the BAI buddies help WBAI constantly because management can count on that money coming in. And they do. So 1-212-209-2950. Please, please give us a call. Give the call center a call at that number. 1-212-209-2950. We bring you strange things here on this program. We're also doing a piece of something we did before, and that's unusual. Let us know if you like that. And we will look into what else we're going to be doing. We're looking at all sorts of stuff to do on this program, especially since I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be that we're going to have to keep on pre-recording it. 1-212-209-2950. And I am told as of Thursday night that by management that you will get a tote bag, a WBAI tote bag, if you pledge and become a BAI buddy. They also hinted there may be some stuff in that bag when you get it. I'm sure it's going to be legal stuff. It's not like the old days when you might get some very interesting things in a bag, but we didn't have tote bags back then. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Call us now. We do need to hear from you. WBAI needs to pay rent at Four Times Square where the transmitter and tower are, and we need to pay rent in Atlantic Avenue so that we can keep broadcasting. 1-212-209-2950. We seriously need to hear from a few folks right now. Please, 212-209-2950. You know, if you want to keep hearing these programs, you got to call in and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And if people don't do that, we will get replaced. So there's that. Plus, you're also saying you listen to the overnight programming. And if the overnight programming isn't able to raise enough money and show we all have listeners, management will get rid of the overnight programming. Not just us, but a lot of others. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give a call now. We seriously need to hear from at least several folks here. 1-212-209-2950. And oh my, oh my. We're coming up to the end. We're coming up to the end here. We need to have a few of you come in and say yes. I'm calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. We need to hear from you. And when you pledge, please let me know. Write to me, rpm@glib.com. rpm@glib.com, and let me know so I can make sure that you get thanked on the air for the future. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call. That's it for Back of the Book this week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
All right. Go and watch the waning days of summer and enjoy that, and then say, oh, well, here comes autumn. We'll just put up with it. We'll be back next week. Until then, remember what that glad he's not in limbo dormouse said.
Meeting of the WBAI Community Advisory Board, also known as the CAB, will be on Sunday, September 18th at 1 p.m. The meeting will be by teleconference. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The meeting ID number is 641-711. Everyone is welcome to call in and join the meeting. The CAB evaluates programming to make sure that the needs of the communities served by the station are being met. To join the CAB, you must be a WBAI member and attend 3 out of 4 consecutive CAB meetings. Again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the meeting ID number is 641-711. Thank you.
Ah, this is a picture of my son. Of course, this was taken when he was younger. My wife had a frame for me yesterday.
It's a fine-looking fella.
Yeah, never met him, did you?
No.
Yeah. Well, we weren't anything at all alike, you know. I'm crazy.
Saturday evening at 8 p.m. on WBAI Playhouse, Horton Foote's A Young Man from Atlanta.
Excuse me, Mr. Kidder, there's a call for you.
Who's it from?
That same young man.
Tell him I'm not here.
The drama set in the 1950s in a small town in Texas revolves around the death of a couple's son and his unspoken lover. The mother has been secretly giving the young man from Atlanta money, and the father, who just lost his job, finds out.
What the hell do you mean, giving him my money?
You said it was
The Young
was
Man
mine.
From Atlanta by Horton Foote, Saturday evening, 8 p.m., WBAI Playhouse, right here on listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
On July 29th, the FBI raided the offices of the African People's Socialist Party in St. Louis, Missouri, and the Uhuru Movement in St. Petersburg, Florida. They used flashbang grenades, battering rams, and drones to terrorize the black community. Why? Supposedly, people are being brainwashed, and elections are being stolen by Russian agents. These racist, anti-communist raids are a threat to anyone who opposes U.S. foreign policy and wants to better their communities. This Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m., Chairman Yeshitela of the African People's Socialist Party will speak at the People's Forum at 320 West 37th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues in Manhattan. That's Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. at 320 West 37th Street. A gathering to stop the repression against the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru
Activist
movement.
Sharon Salam speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward, collecting the funds that we need to make sure that our station is whole and that it can do its job as it has done for me in the past. When all of this stuff happened to me many, many years ago in 1989, I didn't get very many opportunities to speak out in regards to the wrong that was done to my son and the other boys in the Central Park jogger case, as it was called at that time. Very few people stepped up. Yes, Like It Is was there. WBAI was there. And a few others. Majority of those stations that let people like myself speak and tell them what was going on the other side, those stations are gone. If we lose WBAI, where do we go to get our words out? Where do we go if you've been arrested unjustly? Where do you go if someone's taken your children unfairly? Where do you go to seek justice? We must keep this station alive. Yeah. Alive. WBAI. No
justice. This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Yeah. We at war. We at war with terrorism.